Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a headroom-safe re-space in Ableton Live 12 for Jungle and Old School DNB, but we're not just making it big. We're making it controlled, editable, and mix-friendly, which is honestly the real flex in this style. A lot of people chase width and aggression and end up with a bass that sounds huge by itself, then completely eats the drums. And in Jungle, that's the opposite of the vibe. The break needs to breathe, the snare needs to crack, the sub needs to stay solid. So the mindset here is simple. Treat the res like a system, not like a preset. We're going to build this in three parts. First, a clean mono sub. Second, a moving res mid layer. Third, a little texture or air layer if needed. That split is important because it lets each part do one job really well. The sub gives you authority. The mid layer gives you motion and grit. The texture layer gives you character without wrecking the low end. Start by creating a new MIDI track and loading an instrument rack. Inside that rack, make three chains, sub, res mid, and texture. Before you even start sound design, set your track fader conservatively, somewhere around -6 to -10 dB. That may feel quiet at first, but this is exactly how you protect headroom while you're designing. In drum and bass, especially Jungle, you need room for the kick and snare to hit hard. Let's build the sub first. Keep it dead simple. Use operator or a clean sign style patch. No unison, no chorus, no stereo widening, nothing fancy. Put a utility after it and make sure the width is at 0%, or just keep that chain fully mono. The sub should live roughly under 90 to 110 Hz, depending on the key and note range. That mono low end is a huge part of why classic DNB translates so well. It sounds stable on systems, and it stops the bass from feeling louder than it really is. Now for the res mid layer. This is where the movement lives. Load Wavetable or analog and start with two saw oscillators. Keep the detune subtle, maybe 5 to 12 cents. Don't go full super saw mode. That's not the old school vibe. And to choose up headroom fast. Keep unison modest, maybe 2 to 4 voices max. Then shape it with a low pass filter and start around 120 to 300 Hz for the cutoff, depending on the note range. The classic res is not supposed to be shiny and giant right away. It should feel like a moving low mid body with harmonic bite. That's what gives it that vintage Jungle energy. Add a slow LFO to the filter cutoff or wavetable position. Keep the rate slow, around half a bar to 2 bars, so it breathes with the loop instead of wobbling like a lead synth. You want motion, not chaos. Now separate the sub from the res physically and sonically. Put an EQ8 on the res chain and high pass it somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz. If the bass line is very low, be a little more careful. If the sub is carrying the weight, you can cut a bit higher. The goal is clean division of labor. The sub owns the bottom. The res owns the movement above it. This is where people often make a big mistake. They let the res live all the way down in the low end, then stack distortion and widening on top, and suddenly the kick and snare feel tiny. So keep that low end disciplined. A mono sub and a filtered res is one of the most reliable ways to preserve punch. Next, add some character with saturation and tone shaping. On the res chain, try a saturator with only a few dB of drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB. Use soft clip if it helps, and always compensate the output so the chain doesn't jump in level. This is important. A lot of distortion sounds better just because it's louder. We want actual tone improvement, not fake loudness. If you want more movement, put an auto filter after the synth or after the saturation and automate the cutoff, resonance, or filter mode. In older Jungle-flavored basses, even a small filter move can make the bass feel alive. If you have drift in Live 12, you can use a tiny amount of that too. Keep it subtle. Just enough analog instability to make the bass feel less sterile. Then use EQ8 to clean up the mud. If the break is getting cloudy, cut a bit around 200 to 400 Hz. If the bass sounds nasal, try a small dip around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz. Don't overdo it. And don't spend forever soloing the bass. In Jungle, the real test is always the bass against the break. Now here's the secret sauce. Resample the bass. Once the patch feels good, record 4 to 8 bars of it to a new audio track. Why? Because audio gives you editing power. You can chop it, reverse it, mute parts of it, and turn a static synth line into proper arrangement material. This is where the edits mindset really comes alive. After resampling, warp it carefully if needed, then slice it up. You can use slice to new MIDI track if you want to re-trigger the edits, or you can keep it on audio and arrange it manually. Start building a phrase instead of just a loop. For example, bar 1 might be the sustained note. Bar 2 could be an offbeat stab. Bar 3 could hold a note with filter movement. Bar 4 might be chopped or even left open for the snare to breathe. That phrasing is very old school. The bass becomes part of the arrangement, not just a layer underneath it. And that's what makes the tune feel alive. Now drop in a breakbeat and start editing the bass around it. This is crucial. Don't force the drums to fit around the bass. The bass should frame the break. Let the snare hit without fighting a wall of harmonics. Mute the bass briefly before snare hits if needed. Let the sob hold under the kick, but thin out the reese layer on the snare. Use tiny note length changes so the line feels human, not gridlocked. If you're working in MIDI, shorten some notes to 1/16 or 1/8, and leave a few longer ones for contrast. If you're working with audio, use clip gain, fades, and filter automation to carve space. In jungle, those little spaces are everything. The break sounds more alive when the bass gives it room. Now let's talk about headroom, because this is where the whole lesson comes together. Headroom management is mostly gain staging. Check each stage of the rec. Is the synth output too hot? Is the saturator adding level? Did EQ make the bass louder by accident? Is the utility widening something that should stay narrow? You want every chain level matched on purpose. A really good habit is to solo each chain, match the perceived loudness after each device, and then compare the bass in the full drum context. Keep the master from clipping while you work. If the bass feels huge soloed, but weak in the mix, that usually means it has too much upper mid energy and not enough real low-end support. You can also use utility on the full bass rack as a quick trim control. That's easier than constantly riding individual device outputs. And remember, perceived loudness matters more than meter readings. A reese with a strong 250 to 800 Hz area can sound louder than it actually is, because it grabs the ear. If the drums suddenly feel smaller, that's usually the bass dominating the mids. Now we bring in automation for movement and tension. In jungle and rollers, the bass should evolve over 8, 16, or 32 bars. Try opening the filter in the last two bars before a drop. Try increasing saturation slightly before a fill. Try narrowing the width just before a heavy snare hit. Try dropping the sub out for a bar so the return hits harder. A very effective move is to automate auto-filter cutoff from around 180 Hz up to 600 Hz over 4 bars. Another one is raising saturator drive from around 2 dB to 5 dB just for the last bar of a phrase. These aren't giant effects. They're controlled shifts that give your arrangement narrative. Think about a classic jungle structure, an intro with break and atmosphere, a first drop with restrained bass, then a switch up where the bass gets more syncopated, then a breakdown or filtered reset, then a return with a heavier version of the line. That's the kind of movement that keeps people locked in without needing constant new sounds. Before you wrap up, check the whole bass and drum relationship in mono. Use utility to collapse the bass group and listen carefully. The sub should stay strong. The reese midrange should still exist, even if the stereo magic disappears a bit. If everything falls apart in mono, your widening is too aggressive. That's a common modern bass mistake, and it kills old-school impact. You can also split your bass into different versions for different sections. Make a clean roller version for crowded drum moments. Make a dirtier version for the main drop. Make an edit version with chopped fragments, reverses, and mutes for fills and transitions. This gives you real arrangement options, and that's exactly how you keep a tune moving without just making it louder. Here's the big takeaway. In jungle DNB, the bass should react to the pattern density. If the break gets busier, simplify the reese. If there's more space, let the bass talk more. When the drums are busy, the bass should get leaner. When the drums breathe, the bass can open up. That contrast is what makes the groove feel human and powerful. So the mission is clear. Build the sub clean. Build the reese with control. Keep the stereo low and disciplined. Use saturation in moderation. Resample into edits. Arrange around the break. Protect your headroom the whole time. Do that, and your bass won't just sound bigger. It'll hit harder, sit better, and feel properly old school. Now, get into the rack. Make those three chains and start shaping the bass like it belongs in the drum edit.